let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for spending some time with us on today's program, This Week in America. Grandma's Magic Box by Nadine Thomas is a collection of stories written by a grandmother and sent to her grandson as a way to keep in touch over a long distance. These stories are delightful adventure trips for young children. The stories all revolve around a box that a grandmother had given to her grandson for Christmas. Each story takes the reader to a different location with facts about that location. The ending of each story is quite a mystery. These are sure to delight any child ages 4 to 8. One review, in fact, calls it the best children's book out there. Nadine Thomas was born in Portland, Oregon, moved to California at the age of 6 weeks. Being a Navy junior and a Navy wife, she's lived in 37 cities. She attended 4 different high schools and 4 different colleges, receiving a degree in chemistry and biology from the University of San Diego. Her favorite job was teaching biology. She presently lives in a house her husband built in Aiken, which he named Dunroman. Her grandchildren live in Indianola, Washington. Back with us on This Week in America, Nadine Thomas, author of Grandma's Magic Box. Nadine, welcome back. It's great to have you back with us on the program.
Well, thank you, Rick. I'm happy to be back.
Loved our past discussion and looking forward for a while to having the opportunity to have you back and to talk about the book, Grandma's Magic Box. We'll give you information throughout the interview on where you can get this. I mentioned in the beginning all these different places where you lived and went to school. What was this like for you moving all the time?
Actually, no, it was a very exciting growing up. I had wonderful parents who made every move easy and fun and exciting. And my mother loved moving, which is a little, I mean, what a perfect Navy wife she was.
Well, yes.
yes. I mean, I can remember moving to Philadelphia, and she could hardly wait to get out and check the museums and check the local grocery stores. What were they like? Anyway, she just made it all seem like it was fun and games. Now, I have to admit, you know, trying to make new friends every year was not the simplest thing in the world. But very early on, I learned as long as I had one buddy, I was good to go. And so that's kind of was always my goal, is to find one really good friend, and everything worked out fine.
And what a great... Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, finish that.
Oh, I was going to say, I did it when I was 13, we moved to San Francisco, and I went to Lowell High School, which is kind of one of, I'll think almost like one of the first charter schools in the country. Mm. And I found this one friend, and today this one friend is still my buddy. She lives in San Jose, California. She lives in San Jose, but we talk on the phone all the time. We email all the time, and I always go see her, and she always comes to see me. So anyway, yes, great life. I had a great life.
And I'm sure that shaped who you are. I mean, when you think about it, you first of all think of that's got to be hectic, because it's like every year or so you're packing up and moving somewhere else. But all the experiences, the different cities that you had to experience, and did you have a favorite? Was there a favorite place where you lived?
Oh, yes. Well, I'd say Coronado, California was probably top of my list. I loved it. But my second choice probably would be San Francisco. However, like it was when I lived there in 1952 and 53.
Mm. Yes.
It was just so. All the women in San Francisco, if you went downtown, there was this wonderful department store called the City of Paris. And it was such fun. My friend and I would go in there because all the ladies wore hats and gloves and fancy clothes walking around. I mean, it was delightful. We had such a good time. There was one store called I. Magnin's, and it was really top of the line, elegant store. And it had a beautiful bathroom. So my friend Jean and I would have lunch in a place called Geary Park. And after lunch, we'd go into I. Magnin's, into their green marble bathroom to wash our hands. It was one of our favorite outings. We had such a good time. So, yes, San Francisco I love, but I know it's not the same. I have been back to Coronado, and it's exactly the same as when I left it. So that's probably top of my list.
Interesting. Nadine Thomas back with us on the program, author of the delightful children's book, Grandma's Magic Box. The information available, the book's available, of course, wherever books are sold. Her website is Nadine Dunroman, DUNROMIN.com. And you can link on directly with Nadine by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. As you were growing up and going through all of these experiences and getting the education and teaching and writing the book, did you have any mentors, people along the way that really inspired you?
I would have to say it was my mother. I had the most fabulous mother. She was so philosophical. I can give you a couple wonderful examples. When I was a senior in high school, the seniors all decided that we were going to go to Oceanside and spend the weekend. And I had a list of everybody going, and I had a list of the two chaperones who were going. And I showed my mother this list and said, "Oh, and it's going to be such fun. Oh, Mother, I can hardly wait." And she said, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but you may not go." I said, "What? Why?" And she said, "Well, I don't know very many people on this list. And if you think I'm going to trust my most precious possession to a bunch of strangers, you know, you're wrong." And I thought, how do you argue with that?
Exactly.
I totally accepted it. But she was like that in almost everything. I'll give you one more example. On my way to school, she used to walk me to school when I was in the first and second grade. And she said, "Now, I have to tell you, the teacher will teach to the average student, and the book is written for the average student. So if you have average intelligence and you do exactly what you're told, you'll get all A's. If you're above average, you can even goof off a little and still get all A's. And if you're below average, I'm here to help you."
I love that approach. I love that approach.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, too. I'm thinking by being told you can't do something you're looking forward to, and you accept it and go on from there. I mean, what a way with words and her approach to make you understand, no, you can't do that, but you'll thank me for it. And that's exactly, it's a memory that stayed with you all your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was just remarkable. And she was so even clever about, I remember running home. I loved algebra. So we rushed home and said, "Oh, Mother, I've learned algebra today. Did you know that if 2x equals 4, x equals 2? She said, "Well, what's x, sweetheart?" I said, "Oh, it's an unknown." She said, "Well, then who cares?" I thought, okay.
You need to do another book about your experiences moving and focusing on your mother. Have you thought about doing a book with a memoir with all of these great stories that you have?
Oh, absolutely. I've actually started it, and I think I've gotten as far as my first 6 weeks. I had to go back and talk about my grandparents because they were very important in my life. It was, if ever I felt, the world was crushing around me or any kind of an unhappy moment, I always thought my grandmother would understand. She would help me, and my grandfather would help me. And it was so nice to know that there was someone in back of me, which made me really concentrate on the fact that that's what every child really needs, is to know there's somebody backing them up. And I hope every child out there actually has that someone or a group of someone's, an aunt or an uncle, a grandmother, just for those moments when you feel you can't cope. And it just so helps to know there's somebody there, So I was very lucky. I had aunts and uncles, grandparents, and a wonderful mother. And my mother was very, very strict, as you probably can tell. But my father thought I could do no wrong. So that was also fun.
Yeah, I can see.
I had the best.
best of both disciplines there, or discipline and lack of discipline there with your father. How about siblings? Did you have do you have siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
Interesting. So you've got the full attention of your dad and mother. You've got the discipline and the other one there that thinks of it. So we're only child or daughter, she could do no wrong. Nadine Thomas is with us on the program, back in the program. Her book is Grandma's Magic Box. We'll give you information on that book. And you talk about that special bond you had with your grandparents. That special bond is there with your grandson. And not just sending a letter like, hi, this is Grandma, how you doing? You had a little challenge in there and sort of an adventure for him each Christmas. I love that story, and it's a story that resonates so well in the book Grandma's Magic Box, and we'll talk about that in a second. But do you travel much now, or is that all out of your system because you did that as you were growing up?
No, I would love to still travel. I haven't for a while, but I had an aunt when she was my age. She loved to travel, but she didn't want to travel alone. So I raised my hand, and so she took me on many wonderful trips. We went to Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Morocco, which was one of my favorites. We had a fabulous time. She was a wonderful companion on a trip. I'll have to laugh when I think of it because she was, as I said, she was like 82 and I was like 64, I think, when she first took me. And I thought, oh, I'm being so wonderful. I'm going to help this little old lady. She didn't need one bit of help. she had her bag packed outside the hotel room way before I did. It was just wonderful fun. We had a great time. And one particular trip we actually took from Spain across the ocean back to the United States. And that was kind of fun. I did a lot of gambling, and she did a lot of gambling, and anyway, it was fun. I can't even remember, I can't count the number of trips we went on, but it was like twice a year she would have me go with her somewhere. And I mentioned Morocco, which just overwhelmed me. It was like going into magic land. I mean, to see a camel just walking down the street was overwhelming.
Yes. Nadine Thomas with us on the program. She's the author of the book, Grandma's Magic Box. Her website is NadineDunroman.com. That's DunroMin.com. Book available at Amazon. You can link on to Nadine's website by going directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. It sounds like you've got a lot going on in your life, and you mentioned all of the travel that you like to do. Is music a part of your life as well?
I'm sorry, do I think of what?
Music. Is music a part of your life? Do you enjoy music?
I love music, yes. In fact, I have a new male escort, I'll call him. One of my neighbors is a widower, and I'm a widow. And so he's invited me to all the concerts in the nearby area. And even last night, we went to an opera presented, and it was just incredible. It was so wonderful. Yes, I love music. I'll have to tell you one funny thing. We went to a Valentine's Day special, and they had a singer singing all the old songs from my generation, from the 50s. And anyway, one of the songs they sang was My Funny Valentine, and I kind of made a face. And Russell looked at me and said, what's that face for? And I said, that's a horrible song. Haven't you ever listened to the words? And other people at the table were listening to me make fun of the song. And then they were laughing. But have you ever listened to the words?
You know, it is a beautiful song. And recently I've heard that. And I've listened to the words. And I'm thinking, I should have listened to these before. You just sort of get caught up in the, you know, the sentiment, My Funny Valentine, and the music and the singing and the whole thing. And then when you hear the words, it puts it in a whole new perspective, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes. So people can go now, and you can go to YouTube and look up My Funny Valentine and see what you think with the words on that. You know, you have so much going on. I hope you get a chance to write new books in the future. And we talked in the past show, by the way, the past show we did with Nadine, you'll find on our website in the archives, audio and video, and talking in extensive conversation about Grandma's Magic Box. A minute or so left in the program. Let's wrap up talking about that. I mentioned the premise of Grandma's Magic Box. Was this something you made up, or did you actually have Grandma's Magic Box?
Actually owned the box. I must admit, my father brought it back from Hong Kong to my mother in like 1940. And so I do have the box. And I don't know why, when I was with the grandchildren, when they were little, why I thought of that box, but for some reason I did. And so I told him, the first story I told him was about Jurassic Park. That one's not in the book, but that was the first one. And they just loved so much that I had them as the stars of the book. You know, I would say, and then Ryan did this and Dylan said that, and they just giggled and laughed and said, tell us another one, tell us. So that's when I started. When I got home again, I sent them emails of the newer ones. And I never wrote down the Jurassic Park one. I think I've even forgotten it. But anyway, I wrote down and I'd send them a chapter, like, you know, like, well, there's 8 chapters in the book. And I think I probably sent them like 10 or 15 over the time. I just haven't written down the other ones yet or perfected them to go into a book. But it was great fun to do it. I loved making up the stories, and I do still own the box, even though I gave it to Ryan for a Christmas present. I took it back.
Well, it will always stay in the family. It is such a inspiring story that this is actually based on a true story, that you're able to reach out and to stay in touch and do it in such a unique way. The book is Grandma's Magic Box by Nadine Thomas, our guest on the program. I know that you've been working with Reader's Magnet on the book Grandma's Magic Box. What has that experience been like for you?
Oh, it's been very nice. I mean, the two ladies that I've worked closely with, Mia Roberts and Sophia, have been just delightful. I mean, they've just helped me in every way they can, mention things I should do. They both told me I really should be more on the, what do they call them, the personal web, those like Twitter. I should be on Twitter, and I should be on Instagram. What's the other one that I'm trying to think of?
I'm struggling. And I've done Facebook. I can struggle on that. The other ones I'm still working up to as well.
Oh, you make me feel so much better, Rick. I've been struggling with them. I thought, I'm not a millennial, so, I mean, they can do it so easy.
Yeah, they grew up with that, and that's sort of a way of life with them. And for us, it's sort of, you know, and just when you figure out one, then along comes another one that you have to be part of. So it's nice to have somebody there like that, that's sort of a coaching and guiding you through the process, which obviously they're doing it at Reader's Magnet. Nadine, the time has gone by so quickly. It's always a pleasure to have you on the program. So many stories. Love to have you back to continue talking about all of the great stories and excellent job that you've done. Again, it's one of the best children's book out there. It's not me saying it. It's a reviewer who actually said that, Grandma's Magic Box. Nadine, thank you so much for being back with us on the program.
Well, thank you for inviting me back, and it's been a pleasure, an absolute pleasure.
It is always great to have you with us. Nadine Thomas, the book is Grandma's Magic Box. NadineDunroman.com is her website, D-U-N-R-O-M-I-N. Books available, of course, at Amazon. You'll find it as well by going directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and linking on with Nadine's website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.